The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Nedarim daf ayin tes. The Gemara at the beginning of this daf brings a braisa. It's in the middle of quoting a braisa. Masi Rav Chisda, Choyme Behekim. The braisa says that Hakama has a bigger chumrah than Afar mi Bahafer. V'havim mibahakim en afara has a bigger chumrah than hakama has. Chayim mibahakim hakama has a chumrah more than afara. Shashtika mikayames ve'in hashtika mivatalas. A person could make a hakama with being quiet. With being quiet, by not saying anything, he is making a hakama. But by being quiet, he cannot make a hafara. If he makes a hakama in his heart with thought, it's a hakama. But if he has a hafara in his heart, it's nothing. With a machshav, with a thought to do a hafara, it's nothing. Once he makes a hakama, he can no longer make a hafara. Once he makes a hafara, he can no longer make a hakama. What we see in the Braisa is that the Braisa says that Kame has a strength more than what Afara has. And the Braise was trying to say that Afara also has a strength that Kame doesn't have, which later on the Gemara comes to explain where is the strength of Afara. And the Braise explains the strength of Kame more than Afara is the fact that Kame could be made with a thought, without speaking it out with one's mouth. And then the Braisa ends off that in one way they're equal. In one way, Hakama and Hafara are equal. That both, if he made a Hakama, he can no longer make a Hafara. And both, once he made a Hafara, he can no longer make a Hakama. In any case, this Braisa is stating for us a Yisoid. That Shtika, that Hakama is different than Hafara. Hakama could be Chal. Hakama could take place with a thought alone, whereas Afara can't. To explain this Yisoid, I would like to mention the words of the Stipler in his Sefer Kehilos Yaakov and Masechet Nedarim Simin Mem Aleph. I believe his discussion will shed light on the understanding of this concept that Hakama could be chal, Hakama could take place with the thought alone. The Rambam says in Perek Yud Gimel from Hilchas Nedarim that if the husband says, or father says, that it's Hakama and Hafara at the same time. The Rambam says the halacha is, it is a hakama. The neder stands. The hakama of the two things that these two opposite actions that the father or husband was trying to do at once, a hakama and afara, these two stiridic opposite actions that he's trying to do. The hakama is chal, the hakama takes effect, and the afara is not taking effect. In truth, this case of the Rambam is really a Gemara. It's a discussion in the Gemara earlier in the Nedarim Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, just 10 blot earlier. There, the Gemara asks this for a shayla, for a question. What happens, says the Gemara, if the husband or father makes the Hakama and Afara at once? He says he's activating a Hakama and Afara at once. What do I say? What happens? What takes place? And Kipshutoi, when you learn the Gemara, it seems from the Gemara that neither of the two are chal, neither of the two take effect. Not the Hakama and not the Afara. Because the Gemara answers the question by saying, by quoting the words of Rabbo, who says that whenever you can't make one action, transaction, after another, you can't do them simultaneously as well. If you can't do them one after the other, then you can't do them at the same time either. If you can't do it one after the other, you can't do them at the same time. Which would sound like the Gemara was concluding that neither of the two, not the Akama, not the Afara Achav. So the Meforshim ask this on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam paskin that when the husband or father says the Akama and Afara at once, the Akama takes effect? Why did the Rambam paskin different, seemingly different than with the way the Gemara paskins? So the Or Sameach and the Dvar Avraham both answer that the Rambam explained the Gemara as follows. The Rambam explained that when the Gemara is saying if they can't take effect one after the other, then neither takes effect, that just means to say that he was trying to make an effect of a hakama and afara with his words. He was using a verbal hakama and a verbal hafara. And these stirodika, these opposite verbal effects, neither could be chal, neither could take effect since they contradict each other. When one can't be done after the other, they can't take effect at the same time either. However, the Rambam says, and understands this, that the Gemara is saying this, that although neither of the two take effect from his verbal action, neither the Hakama or the Afara are taking effect from the verbal Hakama and Afara, nevertheless, it blives the Hakama does take effect from his Machshava, from his thought. In other words, since we have in our Gemara that there's a difference between Hakama and Afara, Afara must be done verbally. However, Hakama could be done either verbally or with a thought. So although his verbal Hakama did not take effect, the same as his verbal Afara did not take effect, however, the thought, thinking of Hakama, that Hakama did take effect, and therefore a Hakama remains, a Hakama is in effect. However, the Or Sameach asks a question on this explanation. And he says, he asks as follows. The Gemara says, Masechta Shvuos. The Gemara wants to say that entertains the possibility that if someone will make a shvua with their thought, with their mind, the shvua will take effect. If he'll make a swearing, a shvua with his mind alone, it will take effect. However, even so, the Gemara says that if he'll have in mind to verbally say the shvua, and he, in the end, does not verbalize it, in such a case, it won't take effect, and it will, because once he has in mind to create this shvua, to make this shvua, create this swearing, with his lips, verbally, then it won't take effect, even from his thought. Although he could make it with his thought, but once he tries, he attempts, and has in mind that it should be a verbal shvua, then it will only take effect with his verbal shvua and with not take effect with his thought shvua. If so, asks the Or Sameach, so in the case where somebody made a akam and afar at once, he said a verbal akam and afar at once, so we're trying to explain that the reason why the Rambam says that what remains is a hakama, is because the hakama of thought took effect, although his verbal hakama did not take effect. How could that be? Why should this be different than what the Gemara says in Masechta Shvuos, that even if on the possibility that a Shvuah would be chal with his thought, but if he has in mind to make a verbal Shvuah, then the thought Shvuah does not take effect. So why over here, why should this be different? Why should our comma be different than that possibility that the Gemara mentions pertaining to Shavua? So to this answers the Stifler, the Kehilas Yaakov, a beautiful teretz, and I think it sheds tremendous light and understanding in what this halacha of Hakama believe, this that a person can make a Hakama with thought alone. Says the Stifler, there are two types of chaloisim, two types of things that could be chal, that could take effect with a thought alone. The halacha is that by truma, a person could take off truma with machshava alone. However, says the Stifler, it's pashut, it's obvious, it's simple, that although a person could take off truma with a thought alone, but what type of thought does he have to take off truma? It's insufficient to have a passive thought that he'd be happy that this should be truma. The only way he could take off truma with thought is only if he has an active thought that he has in mind, that he is currently taking off truma, he's thinking in his mind, consciously thinking that he is designating such and such parts of his pile to be the truma. And only in such ways does it become truma. That's one case, one type of thought that we know takes effect according to Allah. But there are other types of cases where we know that thought takes effect. We have Allah of Ligabi Heksher, that let's say fruits and vegetables and all foods that grow, they don't become ready to accept tumah, to become tameh, until they have a hechsher mayim, until they have a hechsher, until the one time water goes on them, or one of the shivas mashkim go on them, and it goes on them in a way that the person is happy that the water or Zayin Mashkim touched that food. Let's say somebody picked grapes off the vine, and then a mace touches the grapes. So the grapes do not become tame unless there was one of the Zayin Mashkim, unless water or another one of the Zayin Mashkim was poured over the grapes. And not only that the water was poured, but also that the owners were happy that that water was poured. Now when this halacha, that it has to be that the owner is happy that the water is poured, or the Zayin Mashkim, any of the Zayin Mashkim, it's only necessary for him to be happy. He just has to have a passive thought that he's okay with it. He's happy. He doesn't have to have any active conscious thought that he's creating some effect by that of the water fell on the grapes, or any other food for that matter. So there we have another case in halacha where it's again something that's taking effect through thought. And there it's clear that it's a passive thought, not an active thought. So now when we come to Hakama, this that we say that Hakama takes effect with thought, and this that the Gemara entertained, that a Shvua could take effect with thought. What type of thought are they talking about? Explains the Stifler, the Tzad, that a Shvua would be Chal with thought, would mean that it would be Chal with an active conscious thought, that a person is creating a Shvua. A Shvua is only if a person creates this Chalois, this effect of a Shvua. And therefore it would necessitate one to have a conscious, active thought to create a shvua. And such a case, whereas a hakama is not like that. To make it a hakama, it's enough for a person to have a passive thought that he's happy. The husband or father are just happy. They're satisfied with that the daughter or wife made a neder or shvua. With that alone, the neder takes effect. And with this explains the fact that that's why we can, this is how we can understand the difference between the Gemara of Zir Bashvuis and our case of Hakama, at least in the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam that said, the way the Arsameach and Vaharam explained it, that the husband that had in mind to make a verbal Hakama, and we said that verbal Hakama is not chal, did not take effect. But we say that even though that didn't take effect, nevertheless there remains a thought of Hakama. The thought of Hakama takes effect, although he had in mind to make a verbal one. We ask the question, if a person had in mind to make a verbal shvua, and if that didn't take effect, then it's not chal with his thought. It doesn't take effect because he had a thought, even though it could take effect if he would have a thought. The Gemara says, once he has in mind to have it take effect through his words, then it won't take effect even from his machshava. That's only if it's a type of effect that's chal, that's taking effect because of a conscious thought, an active conscious thought. When you need an active conscious thought, and he had in mind to first make it verbally, so then it won't work from his thought alone. Because he wanted to make it verbally, and the verbal didn't work, so now it can't work from the thought. That's not enough. When you need a conscious, active thought, so then it can't work, the thought itself can't work, when he had in mind to make a verbal one. Whereas, all we need is a passive thought, a passive acceptance, rotzoin, of something, like by Hechsher Mayim, like by something that to be, when we have, we need a liquid to be Mechsher, something, the Kabbal Tumma, to make it be able to be Mechabal Tumma, there all we need is a passive thought. And it says there is Stifler, that's the same thing of Akama. All we need is a passive acceptance of the husband that he's happy and wants this Neder. So then, even if he had in mind to make a verbal Hakama, nevertheless, and that if that didn't take effect, nevertheless, this passive Hakama will still remain. And says the Stipe, I have arrived from the Ran in this Sugya, that the understanding of Hakama belief is a passive thought, not an active conscious thought. Because the Ran explains, what was the source of the Gemara? How does the Gemara know that a Hakama is chal with thought alone? Says the Ran, the Gemara knew this from the fact that if the husband is quiet for a full day, or till the end of the day, whichever opinion it is, the halacha is that it's shtika b'yayim shama, it's like a Hakama. Why is shtika b'yayim shama? Why being quiet is that like a Hakama? Says the Ran, you see from over here, that's the Gemara's source that a thought of Hakama is also a Hakama. Because the whole concept, the reason why the Torah said if the husband is quiet for a whole day, it's mukam, it's like a Hakama, is because if you didn't make any afar for a whole day, it must be that he accepts the nether and he wants the nether. So that's how the Gemara knew that a Hakama with thought is enough. So says the type that if what you need is an active conscious thought to create an effect, to make the nether effective, so then where do you see that from a shtika? How does that connect to shtika b'yayim shama? Just because he was quiet a whole day, how do you know he's actively, consciously affecting, making effect the nether that she made? If all what's necessary is a passive thought, so then you're right, then you could see it. So from this Ran, it's a very strong raya, says the Stifler, to this understanding of Hakama with thought.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.